That's Ephesians 6, 10 to 20, and can be found on page 1177. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the ministry of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That might be the nearest you've been to an actual battle. I don't suspect so. I wonder if there are people here who have actually fought in a genuine battle. Is there anyone? Wave.
Yeah.
Over there? Yeah. And there are others who will have been involved in sporting battles, perhaps, in the past. Any boxers or wrestlers in the distant past? Or taekwondo or something else like that. Richard, what have you done? Judo. Lucy's thinking about it, but no, we won't go there. Whether we're battling for fun or for real, we do need to know who our enemy is. And I think we need to know three things. First, we need to know who is the enemy. Then we need to know what are the tactics being used against us. And then we need to know how do we overcome? How do we win the battle? And our Bible reading today helps us to answer those questions. So if you have it open, I'd be really grateful. It's on page 1177, page 1177, Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning at verse 10. And you'll know, I'm sure, that if we are followers of Jesus, we have a natural enemy, someone who is trying to trip us up at every turn. The enemy of God, we might call him Satan or the devil, number of other names in the Bible, and he's constantly on the lookout to gain the upper hand over us. And some people don't like to think about there being a spiritual battle. Some people would like to say, oh, no, it's just a sort of general force of evil that that comes against us somehow. But the Bible is really clear that we have a personal and actual enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." That doesn't sound to me like a vague force of evil. That does sound like someone who's got it in for us if we are followers of Jesus. And you perhaps have heard this quote or a similar one from C.S. Lewis, where he says, "There are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devil. One is to believe in his existence." One is to disbelieve in his existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in him. The devils themselves are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. So C.S. Lewis is saying we can either take this battle seriously and be equipped by God, or we can have these two errors of either getting to a point where we're just far too anxious and interested in evil things, that's unhelpful, or we can become sort of deniers and say, well, there is no battle, there is no devil. And C.S. Lewis is saying the devil's really pleased when we think either of those things because it makes his job a lot easier. So what are the devil's tactics? What are his favourite weapons? Well, I'd say the first one is the weapon of lying, lies. So often, catch us out. The devil likes to play mind games, doesn't he? He likes to persuade us to think things are not as they are, as God tells us they are. He wants us to think perhaps that there's no battle at all, that we're just all right, we'll just keep our heads down and there's nothing going on to challenge us. Or perhaps he wants to persuade us that he is much more powerful than we are, that might make us think that we're really on the losing side. Or perhaps he wants us to think that our enemy is someone else. And I think we've all been there, where we have thought that our fight was with some person, some other person, maybe even within our own church family. We can be persuaded to think that they are the enemy. And of course, the devil loves to get in amongst us and to stir us up and get us fighting each other. And then he doesn't have to do very much at all. Another one of his weapons are temptations. And all of us are aware of the things that tempt us. Perhaps ways in which we are tempted to lose our temper, to become controlling over other people, to harbour resentment, and fail to forgive someone. That might be something which you know about, where you are struggling with temptation. Perhaps it's temptation to eat too much, to drink too much, to use the wrong substances to affect your lives. Perhaps it's something like pornography, which apparently is really rife amongst Christians as well as those who aren't followers of Jesus. I wonder what your own temptations are. And the third weapon, I think, is suffering. And Satan does love to use our circumstances to test our faith. And many of you have been through extraordinary trials, and you know how it is that you may have been tested to the point of feeling, I don't know if God is with me, and I don't know if he cares. Circumstances can be really, really challenging for us. They might cause spiritual depression or doubts. Even for myself this week, preparing to speak about the spiritual battle, it's been a really, really tough week. And it was only sort of near the end of the week that I thought, oh, that's why I've been struggling this week. Because the devil loves to get in amongst us. And he loves to throw things in obstacles in our way and to make things difficult for us. So coming back to our passage, how do we overcome? Well, first of all, we have the belt of truth. A belt that represents discipline, doesn't it? It represents the sort of creating borders, something that reins us in. And also something that we can hang tools off too. It gives us the right boundaries and it helps us to check on what is true. John chapter 8 says this. Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let's hold on to the truth. Let's check what is true when we are under attack. Then there's the breastplate of righteousness that guards our hearts, protecting our wills so that they match God's will and make us obedient to him. Let's ask God for the breastplate of righteousness. Then we have the shoes of peace. Shoes are for action, aren't they? It doesn't say the slippers of peace. So these are shoes that take us places to take peace to other people, maybe to share the gospel of Jesus with others, maybe to be a peaceful presence amongst those who are not at peace. Let's take the shoes of peace. Romans 5 says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And it's that kind of peace that we're wanting to share with others. That's what we're called to do, to share peace. And that might mean making a point of talking to someone with whom you've had a bit of a row or a bit of a disagreement. Can you take peace to them? We will be sharing peace later on in the communion part of this service. And it's always good to shake the hand of someone with whom you have perhaps not been very close and maybe you've had a little bit of a struggle with. Let's make the most of that opportunity in our services to share the peace. Now, that doesn't mean when we come to the peace, you all have to avoid each other in case they're thinking, oh, you've got something against them. But do just use, that's why the peace is there in our service, to make peace with one another. And then there's the shield of faith. This is our defence against weapons. And again, it's something that's quite active. You don't just put the shield down at your feet and stand there waiting for fiery arrows to come to you. You're holding the shield of faith. So what does it mean to have an active faith? Are you keeping your faith alive? Are you looking to feed your faith by reading God's word, by listening to his Holy Spirit? How are you protecting yourself, particularly with trusting God? Because every time some moment of uncertainty or moment of challenge comes, we need to have our shield in our hand and say, I will trust in God in whom I have put my faith. And Proverbs 3 says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't rely on your own understanding." That's what it means to hold the shield of faith. And then the helmet of salvation. And that's so important to guard our minds, to remind ourselves that we are saved. Particularly important against this enemy who plays mind games with us. He would love it if we kept going around saying, I don't know if I'm really a Christian. I don't know if I'm really saved. I don't know who I am. I'm not sure if God loves me. Ephesians 1 says this, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession." That is a great verse, a couple of verses, 13 and 14 in Ephesians 1. Great verses to say to yourself, to remind yourself that you are saved. If you follow Jesus, if you have accepted his gift of eternal life, you are saved. And then finally, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Another active part of the armor of God. And we need to receive both the Spirit and the Word. We are a church that believes in the Bible and the Spirit. We are a church of Word and Spirit. And we need both to resist the devil. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, says Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And I expect you know the story of Jesus being tempted by the devil and how his weapons against the devil were the Word of God. Every time Satan tempts him, the Word of God is what Jesus uses to fight back. And the devil has no answer. He just tries another temptation. But he can't fight against the Word of God. So let's get really rooted into God's Word. Let's read it as frequently as we can, as often as we can. Let's get rooted into the Word of God. And also, let's receive God's Holy Spirit. Because if we resist the Holy Spirit, he's not able to help us to be like Jesus. Paul ends this passage by reminding us that we're not fighting on our own. We have a battle commander, perhaps, may I say, rather greater than Ralph or Adrian. A battle commander who is our Heavenly Father. And we need to talk to him. Communication in our battle is really important. We need to pray all the time, as verse 18 says. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. So just in closing, I want to remind us that our victory is sure. Jesus died and rose again. We're going to celebrate that in a moment in communion. Romans 8, you know this very well. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In case we get discouraged, there's another verse from 2 Chronicles. And this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. And for you, what you're facing at the moment may feel like a vast army of discouragements, of opposition. But God says, the battle is not yours, it is God's. The battle is not yours, but God's. Our battle cry, it comes from 1 John 4. And it says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, the enemy, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So as we pray, let's bring before God now our battles. And you know what you are struggling with right at this moment. Heavenly Father God, we ask you to put on your armor, so that we can stand and stand firm against the opposition that we are facing. Whether it's people at work who are determined to undermine us or belittle us, whether it's a temptation to shortcut in some way, a temptation to bring momentary pleasure, but that will harm us or harm others in the long term. Whether it's a temptation to spend money that we haven't really got, temptations to be angry with others. Lord, you know the battles that we go through. You know the lies that we face day by day. Perhaps lies about our own self-worth, about what others think of us. And Lord, too, you know how we are tempted to fall into battle with the wrong people. Please help us, Heavenly Father, to fight on your side against your enemy and not to turn in to fight with others who belong to you. Please challenge us, Lord, and help us to stand firm with all your precious armor on us. May we be people of the Word and the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen.